Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We continue in our series tonight on healthy church culture. I believe is part number 5. I'm not sure. It's not on my notes right here. I know where I'm going with it. I just believe it's part number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 15, 11 through 14. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Lord, as we come before you, as we look tonight once again at healthy church culture, just ask you, Lord, just to further highlight some things for us from this passage, things that we can incorporate as a church, just be reminded of as a church, as a local body here in Jacksonville, Texas. Just ask you, Lord, to meet with us. I ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, the launch pad, so to speak, the title is Warn Them That Are Unruly, or Warning the Unruly. But we see in verse 14, we see that phrase, warn them that are unruly. The word exhort, we see that in verse 14 there at the beginning. The word exhort means to encourage, to embolden, to cheer, to advise. So in essence, Paul is saying we encourage you, we embolden you, because it will take boldness to come through on what we're getting ready to exhort you to do. So why boldness? Have you ever confronted someone who wasn't bound by any rules? Look at it this way. You confront one person and you live to talk about it, even if you made them upset. If they're bound by rules, have a general rule of law, they respond within that rule of law. However, confront another person who is not bound by any rule of law, meaning they live outside the law, you could be dead. So it all depends on whether or not somebody lives within law. Now, we do realize today that there are certain bears, so to speak, that if you poke them, they're people who live outside of the law. So you never know what could happen to you as a result because they live outside of the law. So this is the challenge, to warn them that are unruly. But this challenge isn't to those who are outside the church. This challenge is given to believers in regards to unruly believers within the church. So believers are to warn unruly believers in the church. The word warn means to give notice of approaching or probable danger or evil that it may be avoided, to caution against anything that may prove injurious, to caution against evil practices is an example that they had given. So those who are unruly won't be led. There's a danger when one will not follow wise counsel. There's a danger when one chooses to live their life to themselves, seeking to please only themselves. You know, the Bible says this in 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. This is powerful here, that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft means the practices of witches, sorcery, enchantments, intercourse with the devil. Now, why witchcraft? Why link it with Satan? Because Satan was the first to rebel. He's the father of rebellion. And I'll tell you right now, those who are unruly, those who are rebellious, they live in their flesh. And as a result, they are led of a power that is greater than they are. And it is not God. Even in the church of the living God, you will have rebellion. Now, let's be honest here tonight. We all of us, my hand would be up too. We all got a little bit of it. We all got a little bit of that rebellion down in us. But in more extreme cases, we refer to them as unruly. And those who are unruly need warned. There will be those who are rebellious. Sadly, I've had times in the ministry where I was trying to lead, but there was opposition to nearly every decision that would be made based off those decisions. I was met at times with reactions of anger, reactions of discord. The attitude was, I don't like it, but not only do I not like it, I'm going to let the whole church know that I don't like it. Now, this is important. This is important here. If they have the spirit of witchcraft through rebellion, they will also follow that spirit with their next steps also. Yeah. Now, it only makes sense in 1 Samuel 15, 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So the emphasis here, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Iniquity means a sin or crime, wickedness. So many people may not realize this, and we're going to break it down because many may not realize this. Stubbornness is a sin as it leads to wickedness. Nowhere in Scripture do we find being stubborn a good thing. Five times the word stubborn is used in your King James Bible, Proverbs 7:11. And this is talking about the strange woman. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Deuteronomy 21:20, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this is our son, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Psalm 78:8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Deuteronomy 21:18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. Then we see Judges 2:19, and it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. Now, I find it interesting that out of the five verses that we referenced, the word stubborn is linked most of those times with rebellion. Y'all caught that, I'm sure. Stubborn and rebellious is the exact phrase. Now, other sins we could also note from those five verses that accompany being stubborn. Proverbs 7 is a strange woman, an adulterous woman. That lifestyle is accompanied by stubbornness. If you think about, I believe it might be in Proverbs 7, but it talks about how the strange woman forsook the guide of her youth. So that there was a guide in her youth that said, no, don't be strange. Don't go running all around with everybody in town. Don't be strange. But she forsook the guide of her youth. That's stubbornness. There was stubbornness there. Stubborn is being wayward. Who knows how wayward one will become and in what areas? Deuteronomy 21:10. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. So this was their son. He was disobedient. He was a glutton. He was also a drunkard. Psalm 78:8, that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So stubbornness will lead your heart that is pure, will lead to a heart that's pure in your own eyes. So your spirit also will not be steadfast with God. Now, lastly, we had looked at this one, Deuteronomy 21:18, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they've chastened him, will not hearken unto them. So the stubborn son is disobedient, even though corrected. He still won't hearken. Why is that? Stubborn. Stubborn is and rebellion are linked for this reason. An individual decides to be rebellious, and it's the stubborn nature that keeps the individual on that stubborn path, that rebellious path. Stubborn is rebellion's motor. It's the stubborn nature that tells everyone that is right that they're wrong so you can continue to rebel. It's the stubborn nature that tells everyone that is right, I know what I'm doing, so that you can continue to rebel. To stay rebellious, rebellion needs something, and it's called stubborn. Stubborn people are rebellious, and rebellious people are stubborn. Judges 2:19, and it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn ways. So their stubbornness corrupted them. It led them into idolatry. It led them into bowing the knee to false gods. So stubborn that they would not change, even when confronted with the truth. Another example I'll use here, my rabbit dog, Ruger. He's a beagle. And in his old age, he's becoming more and more and more set in his ways. I'll call him to do something, and he will look at me and do the exact opposite. When I continue to call him, he won't look at me. He rebelled, but in stubbornness, he's closed off to anything that would seek to change his mind, whereby changing his course. So you see how rebellion is first, and then stubborn. Once you add that stubborn in there, stubborn's not going to hear anything else but what rebellion wants to do. Now, there are two uses also of the word stubbornness in your King James Bible. Deuteronomy 9:27, remember thy servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin. So wickedness and sin accompany their stubbornness. 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion, again, we already read this, is as a sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So you see, in all the uses of the word stubborn and stubbornness in the Bible, they're not used in a positive light. It's used as a way to show us what the flesh resorts to when it's unwilling to be crucified or altered in any way to resemble the likeness of Christ. Now, in our minds, when we think of stubborn, and we say, well, stubborn's okay if it's over good things. Well, the Bible doesn't say that about that word stubborn or stubbornness. So there has to be biblical words that defend good positions, like holding fast, being planted, being steadfast, unmovable, unshaken. We think about the word abounded. We think about rooted. We think about foundation. We think about not being double-minded, which gives you stability in thought, in speech, in actions, in all your ways. These are spiritual words linked to spiritual standing with God. These words imply Christ and not you. See, stubbornness implies us. These words, again, imply Christ and not you. See, if you rely on your stubbornness instead of God, you don't do certain things and not do certain things. Well, yeah, you don't do certain things and then you do certain things, not because of Christ, but because you're stubborn. It's in your flesh, which doesn't make you spiritual. Your stubbornness makes you strong enough in your flesh to be in opposition to certain things and for certain things, but it's you and not God. See, you cannot confuse stubbornness and spiritual strength in Christ. I know Christians that probably wouldn't ever drink and probably wouldn't ever smoke, probably wouldn't do a lot, but it's not because they're spiritual. They're just that stubborn. Yeah. They just decided, you know what, that's something I don't care about and I don't want to do it, and I'm stubborn about it. Nobody's going to make me do it. Yeah. Well, that's not because you're a saint. You just decided you didn't want to do it and you made up your mind and you're going to be stubborn about it. They've decided they don't want something. And they're going to be stubborn about it. The Bible says that stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So now we find ourselves at the idolatry of stubbornness. So why is stubbornness linked to idolatry? It's an easy answer. Your flesh, my flesh, your willpower, my willpower, your control, your determination, my determination. I think about, you know, even in the in the King James Bible, for the fruits of spirit, it references temperance. Temperance is spirit control. You look in the modern translations, it says self-control. That's trouble right there. Self-control, I can't keep myself from doing nothing. It's going to take the Lord. Yeah. Temperance. We need temperance. We need spirit control, not self-control. We need spirit control. At times, we're not careful. Our ideas will be so highly esteemed. We're fixed on our own self and our own opinions and our own ideas that we won't budge for God or anybody else. Now, isn't this sad that we can be so stubborn in our flesh that we disregard the truth of God, the direction of God, the leadership of our spiritual authorities because of stubbornness, just stubborn? This is the idea right here, essentially. This is me, always has been, and always will be. You know, one of the phrases that kind of irks me a little bit, too old to change now. In most uses of that phrase, I cannot stand too old to change now. These are people who have told God and the man of God that leads them that they've grown as far as they're willing to grow. I encourage you tonight, if you're wrong, you're wrong. It don't matter how old you are. Wrong's wrong, right is right. And if you discover after 50, 60, 70 years that you've been wrong all along or had the wrong idea about something all along, then give it to God and change and stop being stubborn. You know, the more stubborn... there are a whole... I want to tell you, something hurts us today, even amongst independent fundamental Baptists, and that we're being stubborn over things that don't matter. Amen. Just being straight up stubborn over stuff that don't matter. We believed it once a long time ago, and we've not let it go. Might not have even been an issue now, then, but it sure ain't no issue now, and we ain't let it go. Amen. We're still being stubborn about it. And that hurts us. It hurts us with people. Yes. It does. It does hurt us with people when we're stubborn over stuff that don't matter. And we expect people to dot our I's and cross our T's. Amen. Because we just want to be stubborn, and we want everybody to conform to us. And our opinions. I've said it many times. I'm independent fundamental Baptist by conviction, but that's not because I agree with everything that the independent fundamental Baptists do. And I will call them out. If I'll call myself out, I'll call anybody else out. And I'll call that movement out, even though I'm a part of it. I will call it out. If it's right, I'll call it out. I'll praise it. If it's wrong, I'm going to call it out. But you know, the more stubborn a person is, the harder they are to be around. Stubborn people can be hard to be around. With most of them, there's only one way to do just about anything and everything. I've had people, and I'm all for state pride, but there's only one state to live in, only one brand of car to buy, only one way to make things. North's the only real place to live. South's the only real place to live. Just stubborn, just narrow. Narrow. Narrow on what don't matter. You know, we can be so narrow on things that don't matter, we make the narrow way even more narrow than what God even designed it to be. And there's a lot of people that won't get on the narrow road because we made it too narrow. You know, when God helped me with my stubbornness, He also helped me in the area of friends. Because when I was rebellious, I was angry, I was bitter, I was all kinds of things. That's just not a people attractor or whatever you want to call that. I was a people repellent is what I was. I had it written all over my face, stay away from me. I had it all over my face. That was me. That's who I was. And some of it was defense mechanism, too, if I want to be honest with you. I had been hurt multiple times, and I didn't want anybody in my bubble. I didn't want anybody in my circle because I didn't trust anybody. It took me a while, and my wife knows this, too, but it took me a while even being married before I trusted her. Because some of the things that I'd been through and some of the situations and the Marines in Iraq, it took a bit because I just didn't trust people. I'll be honest with you, I don't even think I trusted myself. So, I mean, if you don't trust you, you don't trust anybody else, I don't think. But in a lot of ways, I believe there was only one way for a lot of things, my way, and I was vocal about it. But in a church from the pastor to the last pew, we cannot have stubbornness. Stubbornness is a bad deal. It's bad for you. It's bad for me. It's bad for the church. And those who are rebellious, those who are stubborn, they are unruly. Unruly means disregarding restraint, licentious, disposed to violate laws, turbulent. And this word here, ungovernable. It says here by illustration, accustomed to break over fences and escape from enclosures, apt to break or leap fences as an unruly ox. Before I looked up the word unruly, the first word that came to my mind was ungovernable. Because there was a time in my life I was ungovernable. You could tell me what to do if you wanted to do that. But if I didn't want to do that, then whatever it was, I was not going to do it. To be honest with you, I was ungovernable. And by the way, we can live our life unruly, both loudly and quietly. And sometimes a combination. I know quiet people who are unruly. They won't tell you to take a hike, but as soon as they walk away from what you told them, they're doing the exact opposite. As where there are unruly people also who are loud with it. They're just going to be out there with it. They just won't open up their mouth and remove all doubt or live their life in such a way to remove all doubt. However, God knows the heart and God knows the thoughts and God knows the desires. He knows what they buck against even when man don't. I know people that keep their mouth closed when they disagree and check in the boxes when they're around others, but in their hearts, they're unruly. You know, I was taught when I was younger that attitude mattered in obedience. And how you obeyed was important. You get told to do something and you go storming off, stomping your feet. Nope, get back here. Fix that attitude and then turn around and go do it. It's taught that when you obey, it's important in what heart you obey. There are people out there, they'll do what you tell them, but they don't have a heart of obedience. I know people who agree with you to their lips. Uh-huh, yes, sir, amen, but do something completely different. They're unruly. They are ungovernable. They refuse to be managed. They refuse to be led. And the Apostle Paul here in 1 Thessalonians 5 is saying that in a church we are to warn the unruly. Warn them why? Because of my life verse at one point in time in my life, the way of the transgressor is hard. That was my life verse for a period of time. Because I was living the life of a transgressor. And it was a hard road. It was a hard path. And that's really what we're doing. In the church, we're warning those who are unruly. And I don't know anybody here well enough just yet to know if there's anybody here that's unruly or not. I don't know. I've learned you really don't know that through preaching. Sometimes you learn that when you go to work with somebody one-on-one. And you start trying to lead. Anybody, you don't know anything from standing up here preaching. Start working with somebody. Then you'll know. Then you'll know if they're unruly. Then you'll begin to maybe pick up on some stubbornness. And again, we all got it. I went through this early on in the message. We all got it. We all got it. State of Texas gave me news last week that I didn't like about my motorcycle and the permit stuff and all that stuff. And I got to go take a class and stuff just to be able to ride the thing. And I was reminded that I got some unruly in me. I thought of all kinds of ways to get out of that. And I realized that I don't think I'm going to be able to and be legal. So anytime we find ourselves under the authority of another, that's when we begin to realize and stuff and when sometimes things kind of start to surface up. How are we when somebody asks us to do something that we don't want to do? Not what we want to do. When somebody asks us to do something that we don't want to do, that's when we get the real temperature of the situation. And to be honest with you, I still don't. It's still a surrendering process to this day to do what I don't want to do. It's just within us to do what we want. And it's also within us not to do what we don't want to do. It's just within us. And we go through life making those decisions all day, every day. I want this type of food. I don't want that type of food. If you want it, you go get it. If you don't, you don't. And we just go through life, living our life based off what we want to do and what we don't want to do. And there's nothing wrong with that right there. And then things cross our paths that if we're going to be right with God, then we have to do what He'd have for us to do, even when we don't want to do that. And that takes surrender. And that's hard. And that takes a dying to self, and it takes a dying to what we really want to do. And then on the flip side, there's things that we really don't want to do at times, like really, 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 really don't want to do. And sometimes it should just be immediate obedience and just say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. But there's a dying process. Sometimes I wonder why the Lord started working on my heart to leave Caesarea there in Mansfield a little over a year. I think He knew I had a lot of dying to do before I would do that. Sometimes I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. I made the move, but I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that maybe the Lord thought it would be necessary to take that long. I don't know. But sometimes it's a dying process to do what it is that the Lord would have us to do and to do the things we don't want to do and to not do the things that we want to do. It's a dying process, and it's just surrendering to the Lord. And, you know, like I said, we all got some unruly in us. And I just encourage you tonight to, you know, surrender that to the Lord. And I have to constantly surrender to the Lord, because the Lord's asked me to do things all the time that in my heart I don't want to do at the time that He asked me, or I'm not comfortable with it, or it's outside of my comfort zone, or it's pass out a track to this scary looking person that I don't think, you know. And yes, even though I was in the Marines, I still get scared of people sometimes, you know, I do. And, you know, there's a scary guy over here or something, or this person here that has a look on them like, you know, if I invite them to church, they're going to destroy me, you know. And I get nervous about it. You know, I get skittish about it. But it's what the Lord wants me to do. So I got to surrender to what the Lord would have me to do. And literally, it's every day. I promise you, it's every day. And I have to make a choice every day that I'm going to be governable, if that's the word, governable by the Lord, or if I'm going to be ungovernable because of my flesh, if I'm going to be ruly or if I'm going to be unruly. And so we all have to make those decisions on a daily basis. And, you know, it's ideal for our church culture that we all be ruly. That, you know, I allow the Lord to lead me, you allow me to lead you, and then we're all, you know, going in the same direction. Not only the same direction, but at the pace that the Lord would have us to go. You know, there's not a doubt in my mind we can have the right destination in mind, but we could end up being a year behind or 2 years behind because we wouldn't go at the same pace that the Lord would have us to go. And I found a lot of times in the ministry, yes, I don't browbeat and stuff like that. I'm not going to get behind people with the whip and stuff, so to speak, you know. And I want to come around and, you know, talk to folks, encourage folks, and try and get folks on the same page. But, you know, you do that a lot, and you end up not getting as far as quick as you could, because along the way, there's a lot of reassurance and encouraging to lead and just encouraging, you know, folks to follow. So I just encourage you this evening to apply this. Again, I don't know anybody well enough here to know who's unruly, who's ruly. I don't know. I don't know any of that. This is just what the Lord has given me for tonight. So appreciate y'all. We'll go ahead and close in prayer. Lord, as we come before you.